Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2013 with a release date of Friday, May 27th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Dayton 2016 is done, and we share some moments in a special report. Girl Scouts join the pack, the amateur radio patch pack, that is. In England, a World War II wireless station gets official protection, and we hear from our 1998 Young Ham of the Year award winner. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2013, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Missed going to Dayton Hamvention? Well, we begin our newscast this week by bringing a little bit of Dayton to you. Here's a special report by Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
From May 20th to May 22nd, Hera Arena in Dayton, Ohio was the place to be. Ask anyone. Ask Gordon West.
Hi there, Gordon West, WB6NOA. We're in Dayton, Ohio, 2016. 300-plus vendors absolutely sold out. Thousands of ham radio operators coming in from literally all over the world. We're having a great time here in Dayton this year, as we do every year. So if you've not done Dayton, put it on your schedule, and we'll see you next year. Gordo, WB6NOA clear.
And more than 25,000 attendees were from everywhere around the world.
Hi, I'm Chip Margelli, K7JA. I'm standing in the ARRL booth on a morning tour before I get back to booth at the booth at Comet in the main arena. Had a really good crowd yesterday. I think with the rain today, a lot of folks will be inside, so we're expecting to have really busy traffic. And everybody seems to have a smile on their face and enjoying the sights and the seminars and buying lots of good stuff.
We are come from Qatar, our Qatar Amateur Radio Society. The call is Alpha 71 Alpha. And my name is Saleh, Sierra Alpha Lima Eco Hotel. My call, Alpha 71 Eco Zulu. And we are now in Dayton. It's a great place. And everybody here and good show. We come every year here. We enjoy and we meet very good people.
My name is Nick Henwood. My call sign is G3RWF. And I'm the president of the Radio Society of Great Britain. So we're really pleased to be here in Dayton today. We've brought our stand, so we're selling publications which the Radio Society produces, which I think are widely appreciated by radio amateurs, and we're also encouraging membership, because we've got a lot of members in the United States, which we really enjoy having as part of our society. The Society is the oldest amateur radio society in the world, and it was founded in 1913, so it's 1 year older than the ARRL, as it happens. Why should I mention that?
Hi, I'm Vicky. My call sign is Kilo 8, Victor Golf Mike. I'm a member of the 3905 Century Club, worked all states in DX AwardsNet, and in fact, I'm the 8th Area Awards Manager. Been an amateur radio since 2008, passed my extra class in 2014. This is about the umpteen millionth time I've been down here in Dayton and enjoying myself.
Seminars, workshops, VE sessions, and a whole lot of new radios, antennas, and other products vied for everyone's attention. Vendors found Hamvention the perfect place to showcase new introductions to the amateur world. So did AMSAT, the nonprofit amateur radio satellite organization. We spoke to Barry Baines, WD4ASW, AMSAT's president.
So one of the projects we're working with is called Phase 4B. Phase 4 meaning geostationary or geosynchronous. So the project we're working with is to put an amateur payload with a 5 and 10 gigahertz capability in orbit. Now that is a spacecraft. So we are limiting right now the involvement of people to U.S. nationals. And in fact, it's being developed by Virginia Tech University. They have the responsibility for the design and construction of that payload. We, AMSAT, are responsible for the ground terminal. Now, that's a fancy name for an amateur radio transceiver. So we are using volunteers from all over to help us in the design and development of the amateur transceiver. So by splitting the project into two different groups, VT doing the payload, which gives them an opportunity to have students involved at Virginia Tech, versus the ground terminal, we, in fact, can have a number of amateurs from anywhere who want to get engaged in developing that amateur radio transceiver.
In all, it was a time for eyeball QSOs, banquets, prizes, expanding knowledge, and to carry home a lot more luggage on the return trip home. Because no ham can resist something good for the shack, and Hamvention had plenty of that. Before we leave, why don't we listen to one more hamster at Dayton? Bob Heil.
Well, it's Dayton 2016. Here we are again. My first one was 1959, and I was in here consecutively, but I came back in 78, and I've been here in the same spot all these years. And it's very busy this year. We have a couple of new products, the new PR77, which is a recreation of the old RCA that had Johnny Carson's desk populated for years, and Larry King and so on. But it uses our PR program inside with the PR35 and the roll-off switch. It's really a great, beautiful sounding microphone, but it looks so good, and we're excited about that. And the HC4 is back, and the HC5 on our Pro 7. And the Pro 7 has just gone crazy. For this serious amateur radio operator, we built the headset. We're really proud of all the things going on.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio.
Now, here's a new kind of radio patch you won't find in any catalog. Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has the details.
Patches are nothing new to seasoned hams, but there's a new kind of patch in the works that breaks entirely new ground for Girl Scouts. That's right, Girl Scouts will soon be eligible to learn about ham radio and earn a patch, just as Boy Scouts have been doing with the long-standing merit. In an announcement at the Instructors Forum at the Dayton Hamvention on Friday, May 20th, Maria Lisandru, KD9BUS, described the new patch in progress, a joint effort between the ARRL and two Girl Scout troops. It's called the Radio and Wireless Technology Patch, and the program behind it includes a curriculum for Girl Scouts at all levels, introducing them to radio waves, the electromagnetic spectrum, GPS, and, of course, ham radio itself. Local clubs are encouraged to work with Girl Scouts and help them along. According to the ARRL website, authors of the curriculum, in addition to ARRL Education Services Manager Deborah Johnson, K1DMJ, include two Girl Scout troop leaders, Jill Gullis, KB1SWV of the Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountains, and Laura Northrup, KJ4ECA of the Girl Scouts of Greater Atlanta, Kathy Freeman, KI4SBK, James Neufel, K2GM, Steve Santandrea, AG1YK, and James Youngberg, K1NKR, also contributed to the development of this program, and Carol Perry, WB2MGP, and others consulted with the group. No, the patch is not a copy of the Boy Scout Merit Badge, but it has merit in other ways. It offers similar experiences and goals, and kindles an interest in science, technology, engineering, and math subjects, and hopefully later careers. The patch has been a long time coming and only recently met final approval. Deborah Johnson, K1DMJ, is also the contact person for this patch at the league. You can find the information on the ARRL website or email djohnson@arrl.org. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, in Bloomington, Indiana.
Speaking of scouting, the K2BSA call sign is active, and Boy Scouts are on the air again, so be listening. We hear the details from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have two activations of the K2BSA call sign in California and New Mexico, and we have reports from the field. Stephen Chambers, KK6YAV, will be the control operator for the Portable 6 station at the crew training backpacking campout at Mount Baden-Powell in Glendora, California. Stephen's crew will be hiking the Colby Trail and will be on sporadically between May 26th and May 31st. Dale Finley, KB5NFT, will be the control operator for the Portable 5 station at the Philmont Scout Camp in Cimarron, New Mexico. Beginning June 1st, expect to hear that scout camp on the air throughout the summer. Now from the field, Jim Wilson, K5ND, reports the K2BSA presence at the Hamvention was a success. Interest in radio scouting is increasing, and we are looking forward to an active summer camp season with scout camps on the air. Russ Mickwitz, N7QR, reports their activation at the Columbia Pacific Council Camporee hosted 200 scouts through the shack and put 52 scouts on the air. Ron Glass, WN7Y, reports the National Parks on the Air station at the Black Otter District Spring Camporee hosted 150 scouts through the station and put 45 scouts on the air. Please help support this activity and others involving youth and amateur radio by working and spotting them on the air and online. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KB6OZX repeater in Riverside, California, on Tuesdays. In Britain, a radio relic from the Second World War has not just come out of the shadows, but gotten special protections. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Whilst most radio operators are proud of the rigs and other equipment displayed proudly in their shacks, there's one wireless station just outside Norwich in the UK that from the very start operated in obscurity, its access hidden behind a fake bookcase. The station also had to have a nearby escape tunnel. Clearly this was not a typical radio shack, nor was it meant to be shared or even discovered, at least not during World War II. Keeping it hidden was the whole point when it was set up for operation in 1940 by Winston Churchill. Civilian volunteers were dispatched there to transmit and receive messages for the army, trading information to help ward off an invasion from Germany. The station, which finally came to public light in 2012, was recently granted heritage protection by Historic England, a public organisation that helps preserve the nation's historic buildings and other important entities. This station, one of many set up by Churchill to monitor potential invasion, is known as the Pine Bank Station. Located at Thorpe St Andrews near Norwich, it's now among three underground wireless stations similarly protected, the others being Hare Warren Control Station in Wiltshire and a Second World War Zero station at Heffalore in Northumberland. But perhaps best of all, the station with its good works is now not only treasured, but needn't be a secret treasure anymore. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham, in the UK.
Pete Kemp, KZ1Z, was well known inside the Connecticut headquarters of the ARRL. He had been Connecticut Section Communications Manager for 6 years during the 70s and 80s. In his long association with the League, he also held other field roles, for a time serving as an assistant director for New England's division director. Pete Kemp, who most recently was living in Wesley Chapel, Florida, became a silent key on May 17th. Not only was he a licensed amateur for 47 years, he also authored one of the ARRL's publications, A Teacher's Guide to Amateur Radio Instruction. An educator by profession, he had a polished way of imparting knowledge, and it earned him Connecticut's award as Technology Teacher of the Year. He also became the ARRL's first educational advisor. A retiree from the Bethel, Connecticut public school system, Kemp could be found as well in the classrooms at Central Connecticut State University as an adjunct member of the faculty. The ARRL's Connecticut section manager, Betsy Doan, K1EIC, remembers him as, quote, a superb teacher in the high school, a wonderful mentor, licensed over 700 hams, an active member of Candlewood Amateur Radio Association, and one who really understood what it meant to actualize his potential, end quote. And an amateur radio friend of his, Bill Barrett, KW1B, called him, quote, a good soul with a gentle nature, end quote. Pete Kemp was 67. In the world of DX, as the Wireless Institute of Australia prepares for its annual general meeting and conference on Norfolk Island, a team of Australian amateurs are activating the island through May 31st, working as VK9NT. Listen for them on all bands from 160 meters to 10 meters, working CW, SSB, and RTTY. Be listening to during the meeting weekend for the WIA's commemorative station, VI9ANZAC. Other stations operating will include VK9WI and VK9WIA. Ollie, OH0XX, is activating PZ50X from Suriname through June 1st and can be found mainly on CW from 160 meters to 6 meters. Send QSLs to his home call sign. Logs will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. Listen for Randy, WW6RG, on Diego Garcia Island in the Chagos Archipelago through May 30th. He will be using the call sign VQ9RA, working SSB on 20, 17, and 15 meters. Send QSLs to his home call. Finally, a World War II special event station is being operated by the Radio Club Dardenne through June 21st. Their call sign is OS101AB, honoring the 101st Airborne Division's action during the Battle of the Bulge. Send QSL cards via the Belgian QSL Bureau. Our last report for this week answers the question, whatever happened to some of those winners of our Young Ham of the Year Award? We have an answer from our 1998 winner and from Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, who caught up with him recently.
We got an email recently from Richard Pukowski, KF4BIA. Richard was our 1998 Young Ham of the Year, and he joins us now via Skype. Richard, it's great to catch up with you. Bring us up to speed on where life has taken you since 1998.
Be more than happy to, Don. Thanks again for having me on. Well, a lot has changed since 1998. I graduated high school, of course, actually went off to college. I've had quite the amazing career so far. I'm a graduate student now at Rollins College in Winter Park here in Florida. I've got two amazing little boys, a four-year-old and an almost two-year-old, and just an incredible wife and family. And I find that as I get older, a lot of my older hobbies are starting to come back into my life. And now, of course, with two little boys, I'm doing everything I can to get them interested in radio and seeing what I can do myself to get back into the hobby. I've always been licensed. I've stayed licensed. But I had a really great experience last year during a field day in Gastonia County, North Carolina. I went up to visit my uncle, who was actually the reason I got into amateur radio to begin with. And I got to see all sorts of interesting new digital modes and all sorts of neat stuff that's actually happened while I've been out of the hobby. For example, the PSK31. It's not really new, but it's brand new to me. And so it really got me excited and got me really getting back into amateur radio. So I'm really excited to be able to delve back into something once again.
Let's go back to that day in 1998. The phone rings and it's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, informing you that you're the Young Ham of the Year. Tell us about that.
I don't think I'll forget the day that Bill Pasternak actually called me up and informed me over the phone that I was a winner. I was very excited. You know, of course, being a young man, I was excited about everything, the radio, the trip to Huntsville. It was just an exciting adventure that I couldn't ask for anything more. It was a pretty amazing experience.
So how is life in your world these days?
Oh, it's a whirlwind experience. I mean, I'm sure as you can imagine, having two little boys, a two-year-old and a four-year-old, life is always an adventure. And part of that, I've actually started sharing those adventures from my website, frugalfloridafun.com. We find all sorts of inexpensive day trips to take all around the state. Events, festivals, you name it, we've probably been there. And we actually have a giveaway going on right now. It's our campaign, our 12 Weeks of Summer. And what I wanted to do was really bridge, in honor of the upcoming field day, I wanted to kind of combine these two hobbies that I have now, of course, amateur radio and blogging on my website. So we've decided to actually give away an HT. We're going to give away a Baofeng UV-82 prize pack, and not just the radio itself, of course, some accessories. But what I want to do is I want to be able to help a younger ham or somebody who's not licensed come into the hobby. Part of that is we'll, of course, be giving away a study guide, and we'll even cover the cost of an exam.
I think that's an amazing idea. Tell us how to enter.
You can check out more information at frugalfloridafun.com/radio. And the neat thing is, don't let the website name deceive you. Anybody can enter to win as long as you're in the U.S. If you're the winner, we'll actually get the radio and the gear to the winner, no problem. And hopefully before field day.
frugalfloridafun.com/radio. Richard Pukowski, KF4BIA, our 1998 Young Ham of the Year. It's been so good catching up with you.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Again, the website is frugalfloridafun.com/radio. Pass it along. There's a lot more to our chat, and you can hear it all as a Newsline Extra. Visit our website, arnewsline.org, and click the extra tab at the top of the page. And while you're there, check out the YHOTY tab. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Great things happen to great young hams. With that in mind, we remind our listeners that the deadline is June 30th, so there's only a little time left to nominate candidates for this year's Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award. This honor recognizes licensed amateurs no older than 19 and living in the U.S., Puerto Rico, or Canada, and who have made significant contributions to ham radio and their community. Visit our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the tab for YHOTY for an application. Send completed applications to the Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline Incorporated, Editorial Office, P.O. Box 451, Huntington Station, New York, 11746. Remember, you have only until June 30th. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, the BBC, CQ Magazine, Dayton Hamvention, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Historic England, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016, all rights reserved.